I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. This week, I'm joined by none other than star of maths and psychosexual therapist. It's Charlene Douglas, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, babe. How are you?
I'm really well. Busy, but really, really well. How are you?
But pretty much the same, yeah. Feeling exactly the same. I'm actually sweating me tits off, Charlene. It's been a bit of a busy day.
I love your honesty.
You've got to be, haven't you? God, haven't you got the best smile?
Oh, thank you, Blake. Oh, that's so sweet of you to say that. Thank
Beautiful you. Teeth, yeah. Okay, so let's dive straight into it, mate. Yeah. And I'm going to address the elephant in the room first and foremost. What exactly is a psychosexual therapist?
So basically, I help people that have sex and relationship issues. So it's a form of therapy, basically. And I think when people hear sex therapist or psychosexual therapist, they're like, oh, so you get to find out about people's fantasies, which of course I do, but also it's about helping people that are like are distressed about sex and about their relationship.
Mate, how on earth did you get into something like that? Because obviously it's not exactly something that's presented to you when you're at school at career day, is it? It's pretty niche.
No, I mean, my careers advisor said that I'd make a good teacher, so I suppose she didn't realise that I'd be teaching about sex, but you first train to be a therapist, like a psychotherapist or a counsellor, and then you then find your specialist sort of niche. And I could have gone into the world of drug and alcohol therapy, or like work with young people or children. But I thought, actually, when I found out about sex therapy, I was like, no one does that in the UK. So yeah, I thought I'll have a bit of that.
Yeah, and obviously, I know there'll be training you have to do to become a therapist, but is there specific training that you need to do to become a psychosexual therapist?
Yes, you go on to do a further 2.5 years of training, but it's kind of ongoing because the world of sex and relationship change so often. So, you know, you'll study something like 10 years ago and like now there's all these different things that have come out, different conditions, dysfunctions, your sexualities have moved forward. So It's just changed so much. So you're always learning.
I suppose that is a really good point. Like, you think about my mum and dad's approach to like sex and relationships and stuff, and even going back further, maybe to your grandma and granddad's, and it was very vanilla, probably very closeted, like very, I say, on the straight and narrow. And then like you look at the world now, and there's loads more exploration, like loads of people being loads more adventurous, loads more different things to basically enjoy and do. So I suppose that does make a lot of sense that you've got to be constantly like keeping on your toes. Has there ever been anything that you've learned that's shocked you? When you've been doing your training, you thought, Jesus Christ, people are into that, are they? Because you strike me as someone who's very open-minded, but there's fucking all sorts goes on, Charlene.
Yeah, there really is. I think, you know, now this is not like a big thing for me, but I think when I first found out about the world of like, you know, like bondage and domination, that kind of area, you know, when I sort of found out that there were people in relationships where they would tell the person when they could orgasm, when they couldn't, I was like, I mean, this was years ago, but I remember thinking, oh, but then a part of me was like, maybe that's a little bit sexy. Okay.
I mean, honestly, mate, fucking, I would be fuming. Like, and that is absolutely not my cup of tea. If Erkan was like, not like, you can now.
Not yet.
Yeah. I'd be, who are you fucking talking to? I could not be one of those subservient types. Like, that's definitely.
Would you be the one that would just orgasm because they said that you shouldn't?
Out of spite, I'd be like,
yeah. There you go.
Have a couple.
Yeah. How dare you tell me what to do?
Yeah, that is me. I'm quite a vengeful little critter. I always think, you know, when you so we're like, just so you know, I'm very vanilla, very, but I always think when I watch these ones where there's like, you know, on the telly and stuff, and somebody's fetish is like being told to like, being dominated to totally like clean the house. I always think, God, I wish Erkan was a bit more like that. I wish that's how he got off, by me telling him to clean the house. I feel like that would be a great one.
I feel like there's something for everyone, most definitely. And you know, there are some very interesting fantasies. In fact, there was a book that I read some years ago, and it was a whole book of like every possible sexual fantasy you can imagine, and it was really fascinating. Like, there's something for everyone.
God, I can imagine. It's mad, isn't it? And variety is the spice of life. Like, I know we say it all the time, but it's true, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the world of sex, you do need that sense of like unpredictability. You do need a bit of excitement, a bit of what's going to come next. And I think, you know, some of the sexual practices now give us that. And, you know, you said a little bit earlier that you're quite vanilla in your approach. But I suspect that if there were other things that maybe were considered non-vanilla, that were right up your street, you'd be up for it. I suppose it's about exploring what works for you and what doesn't.
Yeah, I suppose, like, obviously I'm trying, like, I think I am trying to be a little bit more open-minded and stuff like that, but I've said this before, I sort of didn't grow up in a house where these things were spoke about. I haven't got the type of mates where you're like, oh yeah, and you know, I'm swinging from the chandelier or whatever. Like, I've grown up in a space where it wasn't really talked about, you know? So I think subsequently, maybe sexually, I am potentially a bit stunted. But, like, I really love my inner kind of sex life. Like, I feel like that's what we have is really nice and really lovely. And I don't want any more, I don't think. So maybe I have found what's right for me.
Yeah, and do you know what? And I think you've made a really good point there, because I think that people assume that you should be like swinging from the chandeliers. And, you know, there are a lot of people that I know that are swinging from the chandeliers and they are not in a happy relationship at all. Like, other areas of their relationship is just down the pan.
Yeah.
So I think if you found a nice balance where you've got the emotional intimacy, you know, you spend good time together. I know, being around you and Erkan, you guys laugh all the time. You've got a really great friendship and a good foundation. Then, you know, your sex life is your sex life. And I think what's really important to say as well with sex is that it changes, doesn't it? So it might be that you're both okay with how it is right now. And in a few years' time, you might be like, actually, I wouldn't mind trying a little bit of this. And if both parties say yes, then, well, hey.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's communication, isn't it, in a relationship? Like, that's super important to be having these, like, conversations and working at, like, making sure you're both still happy and you're both on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's that C word that people think, oh yeah, we know, we're in a relationship, we know about the C word. But actually, it's really important to be able to have, like, clear communication with one another. And a lot of couples don't.
No, I know. I'm going to go after this podcast and tell Erkan that if he ever wants to be one of those little fellas in the plastic suits who cleans me house, I'd be more than okay with it.
He'll be like, were you just talking to Charlene?
She'll be so angry. He'll be like, I'm fucking practically doing that anyway, just not in the little suit. Bless him, mate. So obviously you have made a career out of this, Charlene, like, both on screen and off. You're super passionate about it. What is it that interests you about people's sex lives? I mean, don't get us wrong, mate, I'm fascinated as well. But what is it that interests you particularly?
You know, I think the thing is this. I am very much a believer in seeking pleasure. I think life is hard enough as it is. We get a difficult, you know, we have a difficult time at work sometimes, or in relationships. There's financial issues, health issues. So I feel like sex is that one thing that's usually free, that we can have a lot of fun with. And there are so many people I know that are not happy when it comes to their sex life. And I just want to be able to help people to be happy and to enjoy what they do, and to dispel some of the myths, you know, like, you know, all those kind of myths, like, you know, women don't really like sex, and, you know, women struggle to orgasm, and all those kind of silly myths. I'm like, if you actually know the facts and you actually know what works for you and your body, you can have the best sex ever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is right, isn't it? And I do think, in particular, as women, for a long time, there was sort of this almost like a shame attached to enjoying sex, you know, like, and I'm really sorry for the sentence I'm about to say, because it's super not nice and not very progressive, but if you loved having sex, it was almost like you were a slag. Right. That is how I grew up. That's what, yeah, I genuinely believed. And it, right, took us being like, even like, I think my time on Geordie Shore really, really messed with my feelings towards sex. Mm-hmm. In particular, the public's reaction to it and stuff. And I think it, because of that, probably added to my attitudes to it. And it's only since getting into my 30s where I've thought, you know what, there's absolutely zero shame in this. And I think it's a movement. I think it's happening all around me. People are being more honest, they're being more open. There's more really nice discussions happening around it. So I think that's definitely added to me being more confident about it and stuff, and realizing there shouldn't be any shame in enjoying it. But no, I definitely felt that way when I was younger, Charlene.
Yeah. Do you know what? You're right. And I think that we still have a long way to go, don't we, as women, yeah, to really tap into our sexual self and to be able to say, you know what, this is what I like. Like, there's a lot of heterosexual couples that I work with where when their guy says to them, hey, like, what do you like in bed? They get all giggly and uncomfortable. They're not able to really even say, but they can't say the words out loud. Like, and they don't even allow themselves to think about what they enjoy. And I think, you know, it's still in us, isn't it? Where it's like, we're not allowed to be too freaky. Like, we don't want to be too freaky. We don't want to be kind of, you know, we don't want our guy to give us a side eye, like, well, have you been that too in your past? You know, so I think we're getting there. And I'm hopeful that my work will help people to tap into what works for them and to really own it.
No, I think it will. And the more conversations and the more brilliant TV shows and the more, I just think people using their platforms to spread awareness and talk about stuff like this, like the more relaxed people are going to be about the subject, you know. I'm certainly loads more forthcoming than my mum or dad ever was, you know.
Right. Yeah. So
the chances are I probably won't be able to get my kids to shut up about shagging.
Well, that's a good thing, my darling. That's a good thing.
You're doing the God's work, Charlie. Yeah. You really are.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I wanted to ask, and I know it's not like a one size fits all type thing, but if you kind of had some blanket advice for three things to improve intimacy in a relationship.
Yeah. So we've mentioned the first one, communication. It's really key to be able to communicate with your partner about how you want sex, what sex means to you, etc. But it's also really important to listen to what your partner is saying and to provide a nice, emotionally safe environment so that they feel comfortable telling you more. Yeah. And I think that's really key, because so many of us say, yeah, you know, I'm a good listener. But then when our partner says something, we're frowning and we're like, you know, or we're taking it offensively, what they're saying. And then that means they don't want to say much more. So communication is key. The second one, did you want to say something there?
No. I was like really listening along, and it really resonated with me. I'm terrible, Charlene. I always say, oh, like, I feel like I'm such, I love chatting to people and stuff, but that's the thing. I love fucking talking, mate. Like, I do think potentially I could work on my listening, because sometimes I think, are you listening to understand that lovely person who's taking the time to talk to you? Are you just listening for your turn to speak? Mm-hmm. And I worry that I'm like that. So I was like really nodding along with you there, because I think, no, I need to do better. I hope her can feels heard.
No, the thing is, Vicky, you know, when, you know, we say so many brilliant things, so of course we'd love to talk lots and lots, right? Because, I mean, who wouldn't want to listen to us? So, you know, I understand that, you know, it's something that we have to kind of balance. But I would say this, I think when you listen, really actively listen to somebody, you can hear a lot about what's really going on for them. And if you're in a relationship with someone, it can really help to solidify your relationship. And I would also say as well, just like I said, be careful sometimes with face expressions when your partner's sharing how they feel about something. Any frowning, rolling of eyes, anything like that will mean that they're not going to feel comfortable coming back to you again in the future. So communication key.
Erkan's not the most communicative person in the world. Like, he's so lovely, Charlene. Like, he's the kindest person, but he tends to bottle things up. Have you got any advice on that front?
So I think often, and I hear this often when it comes to men, that they don't always want to talk about things. They do bottle things up. I think with men, I say men and women, with, you know, anybody that's like that, it's really important to find a time that works for them. So it might be like a date night where you say, look, as part of this date night, let's, you know, speak about, you know, our relationship and some of the fun things we want to do. And then let's go out to the cinema afterwards. So they know that this is a time that we're going to talk about it, and you're not going to randomly spring it on them when they're making a cup of tea.
Yeah.
In saying that, there are some people that would prefer more of a relaxed approach. So, for example, if you're like going on a drive somewhere, you're not like eye to eye staring at them saying, let's talk about our love life. But instead, it feels more relaxed. And, you know, you're looking around, they're looking around, and then you can kind of just introduce the topics that you want to speak about and go from there. But I think the key is when they do open up, to help to create an environment where they really feel comfortable to open up to you more. That's important. And you said a little bit earlier about sometimes struggling to listen. You know, does Erkan maybe pick up on that? And does that maybe mean that he doesn't always then want to say too much more?
Yeah, maybe Charlotte. I think you're right. Like, it's all about how I react to him telling his stuff as well. So I'm going to work on the old resting bitch face, because even when I think I'm looking like engaged and interested and sympathetic and all the things you're meant to look, I probably look fucking fuming. So I will work on that too. So communication, very important. What's number two?
Yeah, so the next thing I would say, be intentional. And I think for a lot of people, they kind of feel like because we love each other, it will just happen. It will be fine. But I know as a couples therapist that a lot of the couples that I work with have grown apart and they don't know how that happened. They're busy with life, busy with work, busy with children. And before they know it, they don't even know each other and there's no relationship. And then they come to me and expect like magic.
Magic. Hey, like, one dude.
They don't even like each other. So I'm like, okay, I can see what I can do here, but really you should have maybe come to me a little bit earlier down the line. But what I would say is if you can make sure that you're intentional to connect with your partner, to meet their needs, you know, flirt with them as well. I think a lot of people forget the art of flirting. Some people say to me, well, we work far apart, we work long hours, we don't even see each other, but you can still flirt. You can send nice, sexy text messages. You can put a little post-it note in their briefcase that when they go to work, they see a little note that says, I can't wait until you come home tonight, babe. You can find those.
That's so cute. I love those ones. I thought you were going to say, like, sending raunchy pics and that. And yeah, Erkan,
you can do that too.
I mean, gosh, Erkan, I get really worried about the cloud. Charlene, I don't trust the cloud. Yeah. But yeah, Irk's just literally been lamenting that I don't ever send him sexy pictures and that. Like, well, most, it's so hard. Like, I totally get the things you're saying, but honestly, mate, day-to-day life is so busy and there's so many demands on your time and you've got to be, yeah, there and everywhere, acting like Superwoman. Like, on a standard Tuesday, it's not the day for me to be sending like a sexy pic. I've got like me Marks and Spencer's nudie bra on and like knickers that don't match and me little period belly. Like, I do think it's hard, isn't it? Like, And yeah. I understand why some people struggle to keep the spark alive. Me and him have only been together 5 years, so so still in its infancy, the relationship. And I do still feel like we're in a honeymoon period sometimes. But yeah, I think about 15, 20 years in, and I totally understand why it's...
Yeah, you've got to be really intentional.
Yeah, that is it. You do. Yeah. I'm going to write him a sexy text message.
Yeah.
I didn't sound believable, did I? No, I'm going to do it.
You know what? I believe you. And I think that you can make it really sexy. I think Erkan will be super turned on.
Right.
And he'll be like, did Charlene tell you to write that? However, yeah,
he will know I'm up to something. He'll think it's a trick. Charlene, I'm going to do it now. Help us craft it. Okay. Hey, stud. Shall I say his? Yes. Hey, stud.
Yeah.
How's your willy? No, that's not yet. Charlene, I need your help. Help me.
Okay. You might be able to go straight in with how's your willy. You might want to say something like, you know, like put a bit of mystery in the space. Like, can you guess what I'm wearing right now? Or, what would you like me to wear when you come in tonight?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Something that kind of gives a bit of a mystery, like, so he can't wait to come home.
Okay, can you guess what I'm wearing? What I'm wearing right now?
Yeah.
Now?
Maybe I can send you a sneaky little picture.
Yeah. Fancy a sneaky peek for your eyes only? Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Speaking of me getting into this.
I am! Look at me! I'm on fire. I'm sexy. Okay.
Fancy.
Don't go. Hold me hand, Charlie. Fancy a sneaky pick for your eyes. For your eyes only. For your eyes only, baby.
Yeah. Maybe put like a sneaky little emoji, like a wink
It says, so can you guess what I'm wearing right now? Your eyes only. Right, okay. I'm going with. Fuck me, my emojis, mate, are not most used are not the sexy ones, right? I need to find some sexy ones here. Oh, I like that man who's got the glasses and the mustache, but that's for another occasion, isn't it?
Yeah, that might not be the thing that's going to turn Erkan on.
No, it's not. Maybe actually looks a little bit like his dad. Right, I won't use that one.
Yeah. So we're thinking more the wing. We're thinking the... the tongue out.
I'm doing the wink. I've gone for it.
You got the wink? Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Sent it, Charlene. I've done it. Okay, we've just got to wait for the reply.
Excellent.
Now.
We'll see what he says.
He might
just come running in because he'd be excited. He'd be like, Nick,
flying out. Right, while we wait for his reply, the embarrassing thing. Oh, he's tight for sure.
Listen, I told you, quick smart when you send a message like that.
What the fuck is that?
But you know what's really interesting about? Look how quickly he started to type.
He says, are you well?
So what can you respond to that, Vicky?
But my loins are on fire, Erkan. Oh, Charlene.
I want to say I'm just here thinking about you and feeling quite turned on.
Just, thinking about you. Of course, stud question mark. Oh, I really need to work on this, Charlene. Just, thinking about you and your wicked pain. No, that's too much. Okay, and you're feeling hot.
Yes.
Feeling
hot. I believed you when you said that word. Yeah.
Yeah, it was hot moment. Yeah. Feeling
hot.
Hot. Oh. Do you know what this shows me? Is that I desperately need to work on this because he is so confused. He's clearly deprived of this type of intimacy.
You know what? It does take a bit of work.
Because you've got to be kidding us, just fuck off.
Maybe he's not used to it, so he thinks it's in that joking space, which is also fine. But you know, the next stage would probably be you sending him a picture and saying, no, I'm actually waiting for you. Dot, dot, dot.
Oh my gosh, that gave me butterflies in me. Told me that was sexy and quite Sorry, sexy and quite scary.
Really? What was the scary part about the UGB?
I'm so sorry, Charlie.
Yeah, I was making you cough as well.
Yeah, I'm obviously allergic to intimacy. Or trying to be sexy, I don't know. Let me see. So it's obviously really out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Like, obviously grew up with all those things in my head, like women who initiate stuff like this or a certain type of thing. And, you know, the things I got called when I was on Geordie Shore, when I showed any signs of sort of like, it, you know, any signs of sexual being. So, yeah, I think those things are very deeply ingrained and conditioned into us. So getting out of my comfort zone and being like this is, it makes us feel loads of things, mate, if I'm honest.
Yeah. But, you know, Vicky, you know, sometimes, I mean, we've sort of done that as a bit of a joke, but, you know, there are other ways that you might want to explore in terms of how you get yourself into that sexual space. And it may not be those types of messages at the very beginning. So there's kind of three types of what we call sexual desire. I mean, this is going to feel very school-like now, right?
But I'm interested.
This is really important, right? So there's spontaneous sexual desire. So people that could be like, hey, I feel horny. I'm going to send a text message. Hey, let's have sex right now. Partner comes in, rip their clothes off, jump on them, you know, like we see in the movies.
That's, I was going to say, it's like in films and in books and that. Like, I didn't realise there was people doing that. Like, I've got too much to be doing to be shagging on Tuesday afternoons and that.
So the thing is, so most women don't experience sexual desire in that way. It's usually men. I think the statistic is around 70 to 80% of men experience sexual desire in that spontaneous way.
Right.
Women usually experience sexual desire in two other ways. Now, the first one is contextual sexual desire. So it's based on the context. So maybe if you are in that sexy underwear, you're on a night out, you maybe had a glass of wine, you're dancing to music, your partner comes up to you and dances with you, and then you start to feel a bit like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then you're in the car on your way home and you're cuddling in the back seat, then you might start to notice, oh, okay. And then
I think that's most likely how I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And the third one is responsive sexual desire. So it's in response to something. So it's in response to a kiss or a hug or even something non-sexual. So for example, if you've come home.
I feel like empties the dishwasher.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you he's like come home early to empty the dishwasher because he knows you're going to have a busy night. And then he's put some petrol in the car because you've got an early morning next morning. And sometimes you'll just look at your partner and you just think, that's such a sexy thing to do. Even though it's sexy. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know exactly. I thought I was mad for that. But like, it obviously, if me and her kind of had a drink, we're in a nice restaurant or, you know, like you say, the dancing thing, that's really in the car coming home. Like it'll be, it is, you do feel some type of way, don't you?
Yeah.
But then it's mad. I thought I was like one of the, I thought it was a sign I was getting older, if I'm honest. Like when I come home and the house is tidy, do you know what always gets me? This is mad. I can't believe I'm telling you this, Charlene. When he's really nice to the dogs.
Yeah, that because makes sense.
They're my children. And when I see them, like being kind to them and like talking in a baby voice with them, like, which you'll kill us for telling you. But like, and he's being like absolute Erkan, dad of the air, I think. Fucking get your clothes off me.
Yeah. And do you know what? I think it's okay to say that, you know, like to be able to say, do you know what? I find it super sexy when you like, you're really nice to the dogs or when you tie to the house. Like it really turns me on. And there's nothing wrong in saying that. The thing is, society has told us that what should turn us on is a penis or a vagina or a vulva, you know, like, or, you know, seeing like his strong shoulders. But actually, sometimes it's the thoughtfulness part of die that is a bit that's the most sexy. And I think the key is to make sure that you don't fit into that little box of I need to just switch on sexual desire just like that. I know we had a little bit of a game earlier for you to try, and I think we worked out that maybe spontaneous sexual desire isn't your bag.
Probably not my thing, Charlene.
No.
But then it's nice to know like the other things that potentially are.
Yeah, but I also think, you know, you probably would be that person that could send that text message if the other parts has happened first. So if you're on the night out, you're dancing together, he's upstairs getting unchanged as you've gone home, you're downstairs, you're in that mood still, music's playing, then you might be like, oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then he will probably be more, like, responsive as well, because obviously... Yeah. He knows, like he saw us a couple of hours ago, we just had a Big Mac. He knows I'm not DTF. So I think under different circumstances, that really could be the thing. Charlene, I'm having such a nice time, although you are making me really hot under the collar. I'm going to go and cool myself down and spray some deodorant, and I'll see you in part two.
Okay, see you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.